Hope Grown Faith to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and encouraged to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. So today I have with me Erica Dawson, who is going to introduce herself, actually. All right, tell us about you a little bit.
Okay, yeah, hi. So my name is Erica, and I have a blog called faithfulmoms.org. And really, the whole focus of Faithful Moms is to nurture faith and faithfulness in our hearts and then in our homes, so in our kids as well. And to be perfectly honest, over the past probably 2 years now, I haven't been posting as many blog posts. Mostly it just emails go out to the, our email community, and then have really been focusing on creating tools to help us nurture faith and faithfulness in our hearts and homes. And so the majority of my limited working time, especially with COVID, right, has been on creating those products and getting those out to moms and women to use. So I have four kids. My kids, we just hit birthday season. So they are now 12, 10, 8, and then my littlest will be 6 at the end of this month. And we live just north of Chicago, and we are ready for shelter in place to be over and to get back to normal life. Oh, yeah. I don't know when that'll happen. That might never happen, normal life, right?
Thank you. Yeah. And what does your husband do for a living?
He works for Apple.
Oh, cool.
So he's the tech guy.
Does he work from home?
He is now, but typically no. He works in one of their retail locations.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So you mentioned that your ministry is all about faith and faithfulness in our hearts first. So tell us about how that looks in your life. How do you keep connected to God? I mean, and you could talk about what it looked like before your kids were all at home, or now that your kids are all at home.
Yeah.
It's all important.
You know, it's interesting because prior to having kids, I'm a journaler anyway. I love to read. I love to write. And so that was a very primary way for me to connect with the Lord, was through journaling, through just studying the scriptures. I went to Bible college, so I, was trained in that, and then I loved it. So that was a normal part of my quiet time. And, I didn't have kids, so I had all the time in the world to do that. And then having kids, that definitely changed. And I really, honestly, I struggled with that for a long time. I struggled with, well, if I can't get in, X amount of time in the Word, does it really count? I mean, it sounds silly to say out loud, but, it was like that internal wrestling and just, having to reconcile what I had thought it looked like in my life with what my current reality was. And so over the seasons of motherhood in different ages of my children, my quiet time has looked differently. And it's been a breaking in a way. I mean, the Lord has broken me of the things that I thought I needed to have. But it's been so beautiful to, and freeing, to know that it can look different and be different. And there are so many ways to connect with the Lord besides just one way that not that I hadn't connected in other ways before, but that was always my go-to. And so to branch out from that has really been an amazing thing. And so I will say now with my kids being home, I mean, my third born gets up at 5:15 every morning. My kids have been early risers their entire lives, no matter what I've done or what I've tried. And so, I love the quiet morning time. So, I have had to come up with lots of different ways to either occupy them so that I could have my time with the Lord, and just have some of that quiet, or find a different time during the day to do that. And so right now with shelter in place and with the kids getting older too, so they're getting up early and they're staying up later because they're older and we're home all day long. And I have just found that for me, having a plan makes a huge difference. So even if it's just a Bible reading plan that I'm following, or if it's a Bible study or whatever it might be, but just so that I'm not sitting down and then having to decide on something, I can just open up the Word and dive right in. And even with journaling, I am a journaler, but I found I created a whole list of prompts to use. And so just being able to open that up and respond to something, it just takes, I know you probably have heard the phrase decision fatigue before.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Even in my quiet, so many every single day, eliminate one more thing that I decide about, it just makes it so much easier for me to just sit down and start Okay, I'm getting a notice that says my internet connection is unstable. Is it saying that for you?
It's okay now, actually. It's funny that it gives you the notice after. You cut out for just a second there when you were talking about decision fatigue. So if you want to repeat that, sure.
Yeah, well, just saying that, you know, you've probably heard that term before, but basically mm-hmm. that we have so many decisions that we're making every single day, and it's exhausting. Yeah. And so where we can automate some of those things or just not have to make those decisions because we already have a plan in place, that's helped me too, because there's been times in the past where I've thought, oh, well, you know, if I'm in between Bible studies or in between reading plans, where not that I don't sit down and do my quiet time, but it doesn't always feel as fruitful just because I spend the time trying to figure out, well, what should I read today or what should I do versus just sitting down and diving right in. So yeah, that's kind of basically it for me right now. I'm going through the Gospels again, and there's just a couple of topics that have been on my heart that I just want to look again at. How did Jesus respond to those things? And
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, you're so right about decision fatigue and just needing something to just, here it is. It just takes out that step. I've been learning about tiny habits recently, and sometimes you just, or always actually, we just need to eliminate some of those unnecessary steps. And if one of the unnecessary steps is deciding what we're going to read, then we need to eliminate that by using a plan.
Yep, absolutely.
Makes life easy.
Yeah.
Okay. So was looking on your website the other day, and you believe that, you know, as moms grow closer to Christ, then that naturally kind of outflows into our children. And I completely agree with that, but I love the way that you said it. So let's talk about is it a book or a curriculum?
It's a journal. So there's three parts to it. There's a kid's devotional journal, a parent's prayer journal, and then blessing cards. And I guess, you want me just share about it and talk about it?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. And then tell us how that looks in your family too.
Yeah. So, just to give you a little bit of history on why I made it, most of the things that I create, it's either because we've needed it in our home or because I'm hearing from the women in our community that it's a need. That's something that they need in their homes or in their lives. And so, with the You Already Are, one of my boys was just really struggling with anger and name calling. And then when he would feel slighted, even slightly, he would just kind of, well, I'm so stupid. I'm so this. And it was a little bit alarming to me. I mean, I know a lot of that can be normal for kids, but it wasn't that a sibling was calling him stupid or, you know, anybody else was calling him these names, but he was still taking on the shame of any mistake he made and letting that define who he was. And then it was coming out against his siblings and other people and just calling the names. And I just remember I was praying a lot for him specifically and for this particular situation with him and just asking the Lord to direct my responses and knowing how to respond to what was happening. You know, was it you know, at times there were discipline issues that needed to be addressed. And of course there's, you know, that discipleship piece where we are then molding their hearts and modeling for them a different way. And, but I just felt like there was something I was missing. And so I was praying specifically for that. And I just remember the Lord, it just felt so much like the Lord was saying to me, remind him who he is, remind him who he is. And I just kept hearing that. And so I sat down and identity is a big thing, right? Like the world is trying to tell our kids and us who we should be, what we should care about. But really we find that in the truth of God's word. And if we don't start there as an anchor, then we are going to get, and the kids are going to get blown and tossed every which direction. And so we want to anchor them in truth. And so I started just looking up, what does the scriptures say about who we already are, not who we are going to become, not what we have to do as a result of who we are, but inherently because of Jesus Christ, who are we? What is our new identity? And so I started just going through the scriptures again and writing those things down. And I kept thinking, okay, I want to give this to my kids, my son in particular in this situation. But he's not a reader. He is not a writer. I mean, I always do little school workbooks in the summer, and we started this morning and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, he was not happy. So I thought, whatever I do, it needs to be easily digestible. It needs to be somewhat quick and easy so that it's not laborious for him and it's not this giant burden. Plus, I didn't want the kids just to be reading my interpretation of what scripture said. I wanted them in the word. And so those were some of the criteria as I was creating it. And once I had the content down, I worked with just such a fabulous designer who did all the inner illustrations and layout. So it's interactive for the kids with coloring features and things like that. But basically, I'll show you the cover. It's You Already Are. And there's coloring pages throughout. So this one looks really busy until you see it colored, because there's a lot of little things to color in there. But it's 9 weeks and it goes through who we already are in Christ. So it starts with an about me, and then there's an about me at the end of how they've changed and what they've seen over the course of the 9 weeks. And so this, it might be backwards for you, but this is you are chosen. It's not. Okay, awesome. You are chosen and accepted. And so there's a coloring page to start each week, and then it goes through, it's like a each day has just one page where there's a scripture passage for them to read, because I wanted the kids to get in the word and to have to, you know, thumb through their Bibles and find where things are and become familiar with how the Bible's put together, if they hadn't had that experience before. And then just one short verse to write. There is a response question. And then there's like a remember phrase that builds on that you already are. So it builds every single day. So this one is, my child, you are chosen by God. So it starts super simple. And then every day it builds. So my child, you are chosen by God and made new in Christ Jesus. So it's the repetitiveness of it. So they're reading that every single day as well. And then what I did, because, you know, the kids can do this independently, depending on their age. My 8-year-old, he has some learning challenges. He has an IEP. So I usually will work with him on it, and my 6-year-old. But my 2 older kids both do it on their own and love it. But I wanted, as I was writing this, I thought, boy, I needed this too. Any one of us, no matter the age, could go through this and just be changed, because it is the truth of God's word and the power of his Holy Spirit who's bringing that alive in our hearts. But I wanted to also be praying specifically for my kids as they were covering these topics, as they were reading the word. And so that's where the prayer journal for parents, it's a smaller notebook, but it's kind of a very similar format in that it follows the same weeks and topics. So you are chosen and accepted. And then there is a verse, and it's the same verse the kids have, and then a short prayer that you can fill in your kids' names, and then just some journal space. So if there's something, you know, you think about, however you want to respond, whether it's writing out your personal prayer or thoughts you have as you're praying, and then for further reading. And sometimes it's more than what the kids have, but it's just there for our own reference. But so that we can be praying these specific topics for the kids as they are reading it, as they're working through it. And, you know, we want our kids in the word, but it's the Holy Spirit, right, that brings it to life inside of them. And that partnership was super important to me. And then these really are, again, following you are chosen and accepted as the week. And it has the main theme for the week and then a blessing on the back. And this is really so that we can take a few minutes. I mean, we are busy, and especially now, I know we're all home, and some of us, not all of us, because for some of us made things 10 times busier, but we can be so distracted. And so this is a time where you can stop for 3 to 4 minutes and look your kids in the eye and put your hands on their shoulder or put an arm around them or whatever it may be, and speak this truth to them. So even with the you are chosen and accepted, it's the reminder that, you know, like if I was saying this to my oldest daughter, Isabella, through Jesus Christ, you are chosen and accepted. You are a child of God. whatever you do, wherever you go, you know, and go through it, to look them in the eye, you know, to have that physical touch, to speak truth right over them and into their lives, because we think we say it enough. And I think we don't realize how little that we do say it. And even if we are doing great at it, I feel like it's one of those things that we can't say too much, and to remind them of that truth is so important. So that's kind of the heart behind it and where it came from. And I've loved the response from it has been wonderful. It's so encouraging to hear how God is using it. And I just continue to pray that, that really it will change a generation, because we want to live out of that place of knowing who we are. And I know that for a lot of us, that comes, you know, like the onion, you know, it comes in cycles. We have to learn it again in different ways and in different seasons. But how awesome to be able to start now when the kids are young, and to get that in their minds and in their hearts, and then trust that God is going to do the work that he will do in them. And really, you know, it might be that he uses it right now in their lives, or it might be for some of them that it's just planting that seed that maybe 20 years from now, the Holy Spirit brings fruit from that. I mean, we don't know God's timing or how he's going to use it, but I believe that it's our job as parents to plant those seeds and to immerse our kids in the scriptures as much as we're able.
I agree. And a lot of what you're saying really dovetails with what I've put in. I have this blessings course. It's not, it's a little bit different from the, I think you have a blessings challenge, right? A 30-day one where you send out blessings every day. So mine is a little bit more like the reason why we do this. Yeah. And what you're saying exactly is it. Like the metaphor that I use is like those curses, those words that people use to describe us, they're like putting stones, and they create this dam where we can't really experience the blessings of God and the power of God in our lives when we have all these stones in our dam. And so speaking these truths over them, truths from the Bible, from God, helps take those stones out. It's more like creating like a little pipeline, even like right through it. Like God can still get right through into them and flow his blessings and his power and his love into their lives when we pray these over them.
Yeah.
Now, do you still have that 30-day?
Yes. I have a 30-day blessing challenge that's totally free on the blog. And it's different than this because there's not a kids piece to it. But still, there's those blessings for us to still pray. And those are a little bit more like different days have different topics versus this is all on pretty much identity and who we are.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need to know that identity. Sorry, you. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say too, you know, it's so interesting because kids are still like kids have, well, we all perceive things right in our own way. So we might be believing something that isn't true. We do that all the time. And so even now, like if the kids are having terrible attitudes and somebody says, you know, call somebody a name, it used to be that they'd cry, oh, he said I'm so-and-so. And now I look at them and I say, well, is that true about you? And they kind of pause. No, it's not. So, well, who are you? Oh, well, I am. And they remember it. And I think that's also a piece of helping them to think critically. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. Does it line up with what God's word says? And they're not going to know God's word if they're not in God's word. Because we don't learn it and internalize it and then live it out just from hearsay. We need to have the living and active word of God in us and have the Holy Spirit be, you know, working it out through us and producing fruit in that. And so I want to help my kids do that. You know, I'm going to fail at it miserably 1,000 times, but it doesn't mean we stop trying.
Okay. So now I have a question. So do you have any advice or encouragement for moms who maybe want to do something like this with their kids, but can't figure out how to get them to do it or how to do it regularly with them? Like, this is the kind of thing that I've struggled with. Like,
I know.
How do I get them to actually like sit down and write?
Well, and I would say too, okay, first of all, I'll tackle both, but let me just address the writing piece of it too. And this is just from, because I used to be an elementary school teacher. And I remember I was a teacher before I had kids, and I had some fabulous mentors that helped me understand some things that I don't think I would have understood prior to having my own kids. that I do understand in an experiential way now. And some of that even is, I mean, obviously with school and stuff, they have to write. And I do think that as we're helping our kids develop a habit for something, sometimes there's effort and pain in that, you know, so I'm not beyond stretching the kids or sometimes making them do something. But when it comes to things of faith, I am pretty choosy on what I force them to do, because I don't want it to be something that they resent or something that they hate. And so I do think that's a personal decision, and that really comes from asking the Lord to guide you on what to push and when to push it. So even with the writing, there were a lot of times, I had a couple of students in particular when I was teaching that they had some physical development things where writing was really difficult. So when it came to actually learning to write or learning the cursive, they had to do that work. But on some of the other things, there was many times where I'd tell the parents on homework, just have them dictate it to you and you write it. Or if they're able to type, have them type it. And I feel like that's similar to this. Like there is a lot of times where my one son in particular, I'll say, draw me a picture or just tell me. Like I love that too, because then that opens up conversation and he's learning to also dialogue about it, not just always have it be a one-sided personal thing. So I think flexibility there and not always having to fit in the box or do exactly what the devotional or the workbook or the curriculum says is totally okay. And again, you know, it's going to look different for every family because God has wired our kids and us and our family dynamics so differently. So I definitely think that's okay. And as far as how to get your kids to do it, I think that's such a personal style too. So I think it helps. Like, I love that you have this group, Christy, because you can ask other moms, like, what has worked for you? And there's going to be some things that somebody's going to say, and off the bat, you're going to be like, no way, that is never going to work for my family. And that's okay. But you might get some other tips, or it might spark another idea that you think, okay, let's try this. This might work. Mm-hmm. Because you got to look at the kids' personalities and their interests, and also your own schedule and your time. Like, if you're always trying to do it at breakfast, but everybody's losing their tempers and running out the door when you actually have school or things like that, then mm-hmm. that might not be the best time. Maybe it is at dinner time or right before bed, or, you know, or vice versa. Like, I used to have, I'd feel a lot of guilt when we didn't have a sit down dinner together, because every book says how important sit down family dinners are. And it just, with my husband's work schedule and some of the people that we were helping, it wouldn't work out. But we had breakfast time together. And so that was our time where we would sit down as a family and we'd have that time together and have conversation and do the devotional and things like that. Hey, I'm on a call right now, so I'll help you in a little bit. Sorry. I don't know which one that is, but someone is knocking.
Yeah, I heard it.
Stronger and stronger. Oh, yeah. So it's me, Eleanor, she says. That's my little list. Sorry about that. But so anyway, I think I think it helps to try out different things, to ask around and see what has worked for other people. Because even this, I'm not trying to avoid the question, I promise. Everybody's struggle with doing it is also different. And so it's hard to just give like a one size fits all answer for that too, because I don't believe that there is one. But then the other thing, and again, I am not using this as an escape hatch for answering, but I really do believe that if that is the desire of your heart to do that, and we know that God has called us to do that, I would just commit it to the Lord in prayer and specifically pray for that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I tend to be like, oh, I need to pray about this. And I pray about it for like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then I'm like, oh, moving on to all the other things I feel like I need to pray about. But to maybe commit a certain amount of time and say, you know what, for the next 14 days, I'm going to pray for this every single day specifically. And then I'm going to listen and I'm going to look around and I'm going to watch to see how God is going to answer that, or what ideas he's going to bring. And if it's a real struggle, like if you have, you know, some kids who are super adamantly uninvolved and uninterested, maybe it's, I mean, fast about it, fast and pray. And I really do believe that as we seek the Lord, that he's going to reveal himself to us and he's going to lead and guide our families. And then also I would say, it's okay to say that you're really struggling with this. I think we don't talk about that enough, that this is hard because this is heart work, and it's going to change in different seasons, and our kids are going to change in different seasons, and we have an enemy who's trying to fight the work that we're going to do as well. And so there's a lot involved, and it is okay to say it's hard, or I don't know what I'm doing. And I think you know more than you do, but I think it's easy for us to go to that place of being like, oh, I'm throwing my hands up, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I believe that the Lord really will lead us and guide us and put someone in our lives if that's the way, you know, that he's going to help us with it. And then also I would just say too, sometimes something only works for 5 days and then doesn't work anymore. Yeah. And then we got to find something else. And that's okay too. Like, it's pivoting, right? Like, we just gotta adjust and work with it and do the best we can with what we have.
Oh, that makes sense. With my boys, I've been asking them, like, what do you want to read with me at bedtime? And so one of them had wanted to go through, like, he wanted to read a Revelation. So I was like, well, first we're going to read like Luke and Acts.
Yeah.
And then once we finished those three, then we went to the Old Testament. We've been reading through that, which has been great. But then with the other one, he wasn't really super interested in that. He likes poetry. So he said, can we read the Psalms? And then after about a month or two, I noticed he was kind of zoning out. So I thought, do you want to read something different? And he said, can we like read a devotional book? And so we found one that we both like, and
yeah.
And we've been reading that one instead, and it's been great.
I love that. And I think that right there is a key. I think that is so important, is to ask the kids. Like, there's so many things in life that we are just telling them or dictating something to them. And so to get them involved and say, hey, what are you interested in? How would you like to do this? What would you like to read? And you could throw out some suggestions. They might not take any single one of them, and that's okay too. But come up with it. Or if they're even resistant to that and they're just like, well, I don't know, I don't want to do anything, I don't care, you know, that type of thing, then say, you know what, I found these three different options. Which of these can we try for the next 4 days or whatever? And just put it on a trial run. Because if they know too that if this really isn't working, you know, it frees us up a little bit, because it's less forceful. It's not, you know, we're not being forced to do it as much, because we know that there's room to pivot if we need to, and to have them as invested as we could, or as they're willing to be in picking it, I think, you know, then they're a little bit more committed as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. When they feel like they have some ability to say no, or to, yeah, some say, that makes a big difference. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're wrapping up right away here, although I kind of want to keep going here. But, okay. So, where can we find you? I know you mentioned your blog name before, but if you'll just tell us again. And yeah, can you just tell us briefly about the Faithful Life Planner too? Because I think that's also something that's really wonderful.
Yeah, I have it here too. So this was a couple years ago now. I was hearing from women, you know, that they just were having a really hard time keeping their quiet time, you know, just time with the Lord as central to life, and then keeping everything else organized. Oh, and I had a lot of ideas, but you know, we're all across the world. You know, we're not necessarily in a discipleship small group where we're meeting together every single week. And I really believe that our time with the Lord and our relationship with him is not just another check on our list. It is the central core. It needs to be the central core from which everything else flows from that. And so as I was praying about it, the Lord just put this on my heart. I mean, it was kind of I'll tell the story sometime if we have more time, but it's just crazy how the Lord brought everything together so quickly for this. And so it's called the Faithful Life Planner. We actually have three covers this year, but this is the one that I use every day. And basically it is a quiet time journal, sermon notes journal, and like a weekly agenda planner all in one. And so you can see there's every week, I don't know if you can see it through here actually, but there's space for sermon notes, there's space for quiet time, but there's a lot of pauses built in to help us stop and slow down, but manageable. So it's not something that's going to take you 45 minutes. I mean, you can take 5-10 minutes and just focus again on the scriptures, on prayer, on what God is doing, how we're seeing him work, where our hearts are, if we are surrendered to him, and then, you know, just your monthly calendar and your weekly planning and all of that. But it just keeps that focus right on Jesus. And so that everything else is planned around it. So yeah, that's the Faithful Life Planner. Thanks for asking about it.
Right. Well, You know what? I have struggled with planners my whole life, and I confess that I didn't use the Faithful Life Planner the whole year, but you did get me to, I did use it for a few months regularly, so that is a huge win.
Yeah, awesome. I love hearing that. What, did you get the, which one did you get? Was that the first year we had it out?
I think it was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and so I've changed it a lot since then, and I'm super pleased with it, but anyway, yeah, thank
you.
So
maybe I'll have to try it again. Maybe I'll get 6 months out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, someday funny. I'm going to use a planner for a whole year. Some year. Oh. Like, maybe when I'm 80, but when I have nothing to plan anymore.
Well, and before I forget, Christy, too, I wanted to say I have to go in, so I'll do it as soon as we get off, but I will set up a discount code for any of your people.
Thank you.
For if you want to get the bundle. I mean, obviously, like I want people to be using this. I'm not coming on here just to sell it, but I do. I know times are tough and everything else. So I'm going to put in, let's just do Hope Grown Faith for the discount code. So if you put that in, and you can get 30% off anything that's in the shop. So
thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm grateful.
Been great. I love your heart for this and the things that you're actually putting together to really strategically help families and kids who know who they are in Christ. So thank you.
Yeah. I love what you're doing too, and continue to pray for you and the ministry and everything else.
Thanks so much.